To try and get settled down here so we can start, I know many of the people who would be interested in citizen participation have been waiting quite a while, and the rest of us have been riveted by the action in the mental health board, so. And I know Sue Suter's on the phone. We'll take care of that admin piece here in just a few moments. All right, welcome to this November meeting of the Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board. Stephanie, can you go ahead and take the roll, and then we'll get to Sue.
Joyce Still. Phil Klein.
Here.
Deb Rouge.
Here.
Mike Smith.
Here.
Sue Suter.
Sue Suter.
Here.
Yeah, we have to be into the microphone. So per last meeting, Sue Suter is still recovering and has requested to participate by telephone. And we need a motion and second approval by the sitting members here to permit her participation that way. And I saw a motion from Deb, second from Joyce. Those in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? All right, we'll proceed on that basis. Now, caveat, which we experienced in the other meeting, please make extra sure that your microphones are on and that you are close to them so that she'll be able to hear in the phone conversation. Okay, we've had a roll call. We've gotten started. Any additions or changes to the agenda? Okay, hearing none. I'll assume that the agenda is acceptable as provided. And let's open, please, for citizen input. Anyone who'd like to present, please state your name and which community you're from, and we'll take a few minutes for that. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Linda Tortorelli, and I am with the autism program and also with Community Choices. And I spoke at the retreat briefly last time when there was a question about our best guess at the amount of children that are currently placed out of district that would need to be returning to Champaign County. I made a best guess at maybe a dozen children in the entire county that would meet DD criteria at any given time. Since then, I've talked to some more special education directors, and we feel like that's a pretty good guess, probably between 10 and 12, with an average of maybe one a year that ages out, but not every year we have children aging out. So I was thinking about all the people that I knew and came up with at least a half a dozen, and they far recall, because had not been in contact for the last couple of years to see where her daughter was, and found out she had aged out in August. So I thought it was helpful, be helpful for you to hear her story. Her daughter's not currently here. She'll tell you about why, which won't be, it'll be a similar story that you've heard along, but I think it's important to continue to hear these stories. Also, the question is, why don't people plan sooner? And I assure you, everybody is planning at least 2 years ahead of time, and the roadblocks that are put in the place for parents and for PASS agents and for everybody involved in trying to make seamless transitions. So Barb's been gracious enough to tell her story briefly. Also, I just, in thinking about numbers, and a few numbers came out at the retreat, which I thought were great to hear, like how many people in day training, 150, how many people in employment, and perhaps we can think about maybe gathering a sheet with those numbers that would give us a snapshot of where we are in 2015 for how many people do we have living in group homes. If they're in group homes, are they of eight, of four, of one? What does it look like right now in 2015? How many ICFs do we have operating in our county? How many people are in these numbers? How many people get home-based waiver? What do we know of that? So I'm wondering if perhaps that we don't consider that sort of a priority to get some of those numbers that would tell a little bit of what we look like in 2015 in regards to that. So it's just a suggestion. I also sit on the TPC, the Transition Planning Committee, and I know those folks would be able to give us numbers of who is going to be transitioning out of our schools. What do they look like? They're very, very aware of what those individuals they currently have and who will be leaving the school system. I also ask that maybe we start to consider transition age youth as a priority, so that maybe we think about those that don't have state funding yet. Maybe there is some kind of funding that's set aside so that we're not leaving transition age youth sitting at home with zero. Maybe they can have something that we would consider to be at a level that wouldn't usurp, you know, the state rate, but would be equivalent in helping really promote those individuals with the waiver services so that we know who they are. So I don't think we make that a priority, but I would really like for us to consider that as maybe something we look at, of how many of these kids just, boom, are falling off and impacting them and their families really significantly. So just some comments before I turn it over to Barb for her color story.
Sure. Any questions for Linda before she turns it over? I want to point out that one of the points that was made at our retreat was the need for data and more data, and having an inventory of kind of where we are is something that we don't look at routinely, but it's probably the kind of thing that's worth taking a frequent look at. But any other?
Could I mention something? I'm getting feedback, so I don't know how it's coming across. Patty Walters and Jennifer Knapp did a great job on their Employment First proposal. Granted, it was a proposal to state government, but they had the number of people from Community Choices and Developmental Services Center, and I think UCP, in each of the programs, and what percentage they estimated, just an estimate, that they would move the next step towards independence. And they had a good chart about that, and that might be a place where we can start looking at some data.
Yeah, that would be great for employment.
Yeah, thanks, Sue. That's a good point. And by the way, you're coming through just fine at this end, so I hope it works at your end.
Okay, and now Barb Horn.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Hello, my name is Barbara Horn. My dear daughter Alyssa has autism. In March 2009, at age 16, we had to make the agonizing choice to put Alyssa into a group home where she could have 24/7 care. We tried for years and years to help her and keep her in our home, but just couldn't do it anymore. She was accepted at Willow Glen Academy in Freeport, Illinois, 3.5 hours away. We were thankful she was accepted there, but also saddened she was so far away. I never in my wildest dreams thought I would be separated from my daughter. We were told when she turned 22, she would have to be in an adult group home. So 2 years ago, I went to DSC and was told by them to contact them within a year of Alyssa's 22nd birthday. We did and was told that there would be no way she could get in there. AIG visited Alyssa in Freeport and was told to us that she would be a probable fit for their home here in Champaign. Then that fell through. Jacksonville, Chillicothe, and Galesburg would accept her. We chose Galesburg. It's 2.5 hours away. It would be a dream of mine to have my daughter here in my own county. I wish there was a place and supports here for her. I miss her, and I want her to be a part of my life every day.
Thank you. Any questions on the board? Okay. No, thanks very much. Other citizen input.
Hello, my name is Sam Davis, and I work for a company called UCP. We're in this building. I just recently started in July, and since July, we've used the 377 funding to help a lot of individuals maintain their jobs. We've got one client that every day she calls with a mental breakdown, and one of my job coaches talks her through it. The 377 funding allows us to still provide that support. It helps us provide that support, and it's definitely needed. And I came here today to thank you guys for that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for that. All right, any other input? Okay, let's move on ahead in the agenda. Our next item is input from the Mental Health Board. There is some information in your packet, and we're happy to hear any verbal remarks from the members, if you like. Okay, and they also did express their appreciation for us starting late. So, again, thanks for the patience of the audience members who have been waiting as well. Next issue is approval of minutes. You have a minute packet in your documents, starting at page 10. I'd like to entertain a motion to approve those minutes, please.
Joyce, I move that we accept these as presented.
Your second?
Second.
Okay, Mike seconds. Any changes, discussion, issues in the minutes? Hearing none, let's call the question. Those in favor, please say aye. Any opposed? All right, minutes are approved. So at this point, it's time for my remarks. I would like to thank everyone for their participation in our board retreat. I think we had some really, really good discussion, and especially good input from Melissa Picciola from Equip for Equality, who I think laid out a lot of the big challenges for us fairly well. And I think that also some of the discussion that we had has influenced our priorities a little bit. I wanted to mention two things. One of them is an item that came up in the Mental Health Board, so I want to make sure it's shared with this board. Peter Tracy had sent the presidents of the two boards a letter in September, which I'll go ahead and read because it's only two sentences. This letter is to notify you of my intent to cancel the automatic extension term of employment provision in my employment agreement as amended on October 5, 2005. With this notification, my final date of employment shall be November 30, 2018. Subsequent to that, Deb and I drafted a letter, and with your approval, I will sign and send it to him. And let me go ahead and read that. The presidents of the Champaign County Mental Health Board and of the Champaign County Development and Disabilities Board are in receipt of your letter dated September 23, notifying us of your intent to cancel the automatic extension term. We want you to be aware that the leadership of the two boards supports your continued efforts and employment as our executive director and has not sought any substantive changes in your employment contract. Your expertise and experience are highly valued, and we recognize your extra contributions. If for any reason you wish to rescind your letter of September 23rd, we would be pleased to restore the extension terms that were in effect prior to that date. Please let us know if you wish to make such a change or if there are other adjustments to the agreement that we should consider. So that's mainly an information item, but I would like at least tacit approval from this group for us to send that letter to you. Any thoughts, discussion, comments, concerns?
I support the letter.
Thanks. Yeah, I'll take care of that. I will tell you, since it was on the public record, that Peter participated by phone in the Mental Health Board and indicated that he did not intend to rescind the letter. So, in effect, we've given him the option and made it up to him as to what his decision should be. So, I will take care of that. So, that was the item with respect to that. One of the items that came up previously was the advocacy on behalf of more appropriate state reimbursement rates. We subsequently found, and I sent a note, which I think most of you got, that there is, in fact, legislation that's been introduced, one bill in the House, one bill in the Senate, exactly for that purpose. Both of those bills are stalled in the conventional state process. But I think one of the useful pieces there is, to the extent that we want to explicitly advocate, we're not starting from a blank sheet of paper. We can say, please support these bills, and we can point to them. I did look at the wording of those. They're fairly general, but they do require the state to create a living wage-based kind of reimbursement rate to improve the situation. So they do meet certainly the spirit of what we were trying to achieve, and I think it's a good starting point. Certainly much better than trying to advocate from a complete blank sheet of paper. So I wanted people to be aware of that. Lynn, do we have Peter deferred to participate because apparently our phone system allows one person to come in at a time. We'll be correcting that soon enough. That's not a hard problem. But in any case, since Sue wanted to participate as a member, Peter went ahead and deferred. Lynn, do you know of any report or information that was coming from him, or do you have anything that we can segue into your own staff report as well?
I guess just in the interest of time, if you have questions about my staff report, that's a good place to start. I do have a little bit of additional information, but it's not real critical. So if you have questions, you can go first.
It's not a question, it's comments. On page 16, under other activity, I requested further information from the crisis cases consultant who remains concerned for families as she has not been able to facilitate placement, citing provider capacity as a primary barrier. Go back to Office of Disability Employment on 15, and we've heard a lot about speakers from states where they are actually funding, planning, and implementation. And I particularly like the statement, speakers were from Iowa, Maine, Massachusetts, and Vermont, and all described positive results that required several years of careful and funded planning. It all goes back to funding, and probably always will. But when we look at placement for people, I don't think it comes as a shock to anyone that we are not able to place people at this point. We have crisis cases, I understand that. I do want to make it clear that there are also people living right now in group homes who actually do have a crisis going on. Their crisis affects every other person in that group home. It isn't just that one person. Not that just one person isn't important, it definitely are. But it does affect the quality of life for people. And so we've got this between a rock and a hard place thing. You know, it's either we give that kind of commitment to work with hard cases, which we need to do. No one is saying we don't need to do that. But we also need to be looking at how that affects other people who are living in group homes that don't have the service yet, all of those things. And it all comes down to funding. So when we start talking, and I know I'm jumping ahead, but when we start talking about what our priorities are, I still say our first priority has to be raising funding. So knowing what those House bills and Senate bills are, that's a first step, but I think we have to be really active and diligent about going forward. I think that when we look at all of this, we're all on the same page. This isn't somebody against somebody else. This is actually, we need to do what's right for people that we serve. And I know there's not a single person on this board that doesn't want to do that. So we'll look at our priorities, and I'd like to have some discussion about those when that time comes.
Yes, of course. And I would add that no action can be done in isolation. You know, as you say, you can't handle one case at the expense of generating more, so to speak, or doing harm. I do think that the spirit of this board is to provide the appropriate services and work very hard to make sure the appropriate services are available for people who live in Champaign County and certainly for people who want to live here as well. While we're not against each other, sometimes I get cynical and think that there are people who are trying to pit us against each other so they can, you know, send their resources somewhere else. And we're not going to have any part of that. That's probably too cryptic, but let's go on ahead. One thing that we've done here, get us on a different track. Typically, our Disability Resource Expo has always been under old business and deferred forever and forever, and then Barb is forced to give us a one-minute quick summary at the end. We agreed after last month's meeting to go ahead and put it into the heart of our agenda, so because it is one of our active, significant programs, and we'd like very much, Barb, to hear the summary and maybe some points on what can be done differently next time. Thanks.
Thank you. I want to let you know, you folks have had an opportunity to look at the evaluations. We have been doing evaluations of both participants and exhibitors, I think from the beginning. And we really find that helpful in just so many ways as far as as we start planning for the next year. Our committee, our steering committee has met just last week. We met to start kind of that debriefing process and looking at what went well and what do we want to change and improve for the next year. So we're doing that, starting that process. There were some, facility things like, they'd like more heat in there and parking would be, better parking would be nice. And those are all things that are kind of out of our control. But with the size of our event that it has become, there are not a lot of resources. Assembly Hall is out of our financial resources. So one thing that we have decided to do is for the coming year is that we will cut it up. We had 98 exhibitors this year. We are going to have a cutoff of 100, because we don't want to create accessibility issues as we actually had after, a number of years at Lincoln Square. So to avoid that, we're going to have a cutoff, and we're hoping that'll get people to bring in, get in their applications in earlier. And so once we meet that 100, we're there. So, and I think that's a good size. We typically, just no one noticed my report. We had, 17 new exhibitors. We always lose a few each year, but we add, quite a few too. So we try to keep that in consideration. So other thing I want to mention is the resource book. We have this nice new resource book out. And there are some copies over here. Please be sure and take one of those if you haven't already. And if you need more, if you want to supply for your workplace or anything, we have those available to get them to you. Lastly, just wanted to mention, because my information is all in my report, but we're doing some fundraisers for the expo. We started last June with the wine tasting, working with Art Mart. And we are planning to do that again and have already kind of started that planning process for that, hopefully in June. So you'll be hearing more about that in the future. We just completed a Bergner's Community Days fundraiser, and it's amazing how much money that can bring in. So we'll report on those totals next time. But, we've done real well with that. We also are in the process of doing a Schwann's fundraiser, and if anybody is a Schwann's customer or wants to be or doesn't want to be and just wants to order one time, there are some forms over here. If you use a campaign ID number 23666 when you order, that will either online or by phone, we will get a 20% of your purchase. So that it just brings a little bit more in each time that we can maybe improve and do some different things each year. Any questions?
Okay, thanks. I did have one question. I was trying to get I think it's probably buried in the report. I didn't quite see it. Clearly, we had a lot of growth in exhibitors. Any sense of growth in the crowd, so to speak? Did we get more or less or about the same participation?
You know, it's hard to say. We do know that the parking lot was packed the whole time, and that there were, you know, cars backed up on Country Fair Drive periodically. But the one thing I did notice this time with the evaluations, the participant evaluation, we had nearly 100 more of those evaluations turned in this year than from last year. So whether that means there were more people, I don't know. Or there were, you know, maybe they thought the prizes were better for turning out. Who knows? But it all helps us. So.
Okay, so the general sense is probably fairly substantive growth.
Yeah, I think
hard
so.
Hard to get the numbers. Okay, sure, thanks.
This is the first one that I've had to miss.
Yes, we missed you.
And I really miss being there. But every year I say this, and I mean it every year. I think that what the committee does and what you do provides so much service for people in Champaign County to be able to go to one place and find all those resources. And your resource book, which I do have, and I'm going to take a couple more for people, that is a very wonderful thing for people to be able to access. So just give my regards to the people who work so hard. I appreciate it a tremendous amount.
I would do that. And then, you know, I have to say we have the best committee I've ever, you know, had the pleasure of working with. Because they're all, they jump in there and they all do their part. So thank you.
All right, thanks. Do we have any agency information that should be reported? Jen, sure.
We do. So Jennifer Knapp from Community Choices and from DSC. So we just wanted to give a quick report on our Employment First grant, but focusing on the individual and family information sessions. We have a plan, so we wanted to share that with you.
We're going to start in January with a series of 6 meetings, all on the 4th Tuesday of the month. We're in the process of finding a location so that we eliminate confusion about where is the meeting this month. We're pretty excited. The topics range from everything from the ABLE Act, benefits, and how employment affects benefits, success stories in the area. The very first one we're having in January was actually the top priority from the meeting that we had in September, and that's for helping parents identify how they can help prepare their family member for employment.
So we're really excited about that. Just a couple other updates from Community Choices. We were in Springfield today at the supportive housing meeting at CSH. I've talked about them several times. And the progress today is that we had about 10 staff from the Division of Developmental Disabilities who were actually in attendance, which was great, including the rates people, because all this is related, right? So some really great discussions. And the biggest excitement is that there is actually a supportive housing pilot that's happening in Edwardsville, Illinois, which is like Metro East St. Louis area. And they actually have a new building that's just been built with Section 811 funds. It's in a great location. They're all excited. And there's 6 individuals with disabilities who are working on having an enhanced intermittent CILA rate. So, again, it's not the perfect funding mechanism for this, but it's what the state has right now. And so really sensed a commitment from the provider in that area is Trinity, who's working with them. These families and DDD. So it's kind of like, if we can get that to be a success, then that can continue to be an option for people across the state. So I wanted to let you know about that. And then other good news is that Community Choices just learned that we are receiving a grant from the Illinois Council on Developmental Disabilities. Our grant is called Open Champaign. And that is to do community building events to help individuals with developmental disabilities get connected to community groups. And so we just learned that that will be expanded, and our focus will actually be African Americans with developmental disabilities. So again, not requesting any money from you, just letting you know that I know cultural competence in particular has been an area of focus, and so been able to secure a grant to work on that. So just wanted to give you those updates.
That's very exciting. I'm very glad to hear that. Any other questions or discussion from the board? Okay, thanks, Jim. Anyone else? I see Dylan. Jen's gonna help us. Okay.
Dylan Boot from Pace.
I have more of a comment slash request.
I have more of a comment slash request.
This is the third month that I've tried to address the burden and the hard voice has been off.
This is the third month that I've tried to enter the building, and the power doors were off.
And thankfully,
someone else opened the door for me.
And I will be raised, and then she could
I will be writing a letter to Champaign County expressing my concern.
Because not only does this prevent me from doing my job.
Because not only does this prevent me from doing my job.
But as a Champaign County citizen, prevents me from participating in kind of politics.
But it also prevents me from participating in government politics.
So I will, I want to ask the U.S. Board or as individual board members, also especially concerned.
So I request that you, as a developmental disability board, or as individual board members, also express your concern.
Thank you.
Well, let's do something right now, because I see Ms. Petrie in the back. Can we do something to make sure that this building is fully accessible into the evenings when these meetings are going on? I know this applies to the county board meetings. And okay, good. Dylan, we'll defer to the county board to take the action. Yes.
If I may,
please.
I just went out and checked, and I guess it was after the last DBB meeting in October. We had the building facilities person come down to our office and point out some things about how this building is supposed to be closed up after our meetings. And one of the things, I did not know this up until that point, but one of the things he pointed out to me is how to control that automatic door opener. And I just went out and checked, and it was off, but I've turned it back on, and we will make a point of either having the facilities people not turn that off on evenings that we have a meeting, or that we will, I or other members of the staff will check that to be sure that that the building is accessible, that the automatic door opener opens. Yes.
Okay, I don't want to dwell on too much, but I really appreciate, Dylan, I appreciate you flagging that, and clearly the staff is on it, and we'll make sure that that's corrected.
Can I make another comment?
I appreciate Mr. Driscoll's comments.
I appreciate Mr. Driscoll's comments.
I also know how to switch the door on if I find someone to do that.
I also know how to switch the door on if I find someone to do that.
But I think the principle of the matter remains.
But I think the principle of the matter remains.
All right. Is there other, are there other agencies to report this in? Okay. At this point, then, it's time for our financial report and approval of the claims. You have the report in your packet, and I would like to entertain a motion to approve the claims and the report.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion? All right, hearing none, those in favor, please say aye. Those opposed? Okay, claims are approved. All right, in one of our kind of standing new business items, we're interested in integration transition successes. Do we have any anything this evening in that category? Because I did have one I wanted to bring up, but I want to give a chance. Okay, we heard a really interesting story from someone employed in the community at Home Depot, and I won't try to name names, who's been there, if I remember correctly, since March or May? March. And has already received, what, 4 employee awards and considerable recognition. The employers in the community who are picking some of the folks up are indeed enjoying some interesting successes. And I hope that we can hear about this and begin to publicize them. His story would look really interesting in the News Gazette on a Sunday morning in the business section. We need to try and work on that. For every one of these good experiences, I think it does a lot for the whole community. So I appreciate that. Let's see, the next one then is our first quarter agency reports, which are in the packet. These are included for information, and if there are any immediate questions to Lynn or the staff with respect to those, we can entertain those. In addition, Lynn has expanded on some of the data that we got last time to roll in some of the demographic information, because one of the questions we had previously was how did these various programs relate to the size, the locational sizes within Champaign County. And I would point out, I'm looking here at page 60, that we are indeed trying to serve more than 200,000 people. So we're not a small rural operation by any stretch. We're a very diverse operation with many, many people inside the city, outside the city, in small towns and elsewhere. And again, any questions, discussion, anything we can refer to staff on these reports. Otherwise, they're here for your report. All right. Old business. We have our allocation criteria starting on page 61. I wanted to point out in the spirit of Joyce's comments a few moments ago, that We've now tried to be explicit in our priorities on page 64. The second priority there, you'll notice, has been expanded, well, rewritten a little bit to point out that our board will support advocacy efforts to assure appropriate state funding for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. We continue to hear that advocacy and really basically calling the state to task is going to be one of our key areas throughout the coming year and the next few years, I'm sure. I hope that you've all had a chance to read through this. And at this point, can we go ahead and get a motion to put it on the floor and then we can have discussion? That motion is on page 16.
FY17 allocation priorities and decision support criteria as described in this memorandum.
Second for Mike. Okay, open for discussion.
We've had this discussion before, I'm sure, but I can't remember how we solved it. When we talk about priorities, we're not necessarily listing this in the order in which we are going. Okay, great. Just want to be sure about that. Number two priority for me. We have advocacy for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And if you go down the list on that page, we have a priority of expansion of community integrated living arrangements, SILA. I would like to see that as a subset under advocacy, because that one and also workforce development and stability are advocacy. That's what we mean. So it's not that I have anything. Expansion of SILA is always a priority. However, it's not something at this moment that we can do. So perhaps that should be under advocacy. I just wanted to bring that up for discussion.
I think that's an interesting point. I would like to continue to break them out, because you'll notice, for example, when we have the SILA expansion, it's explicitly seeking creative approaches. In other words, we're looking for things that are kind of outside the usual mainstream on how we might do this. Whether we will successfully get into such things remains to be seen. But that increasing SILAs, of course, is a priority and goes under advocacy. And actually, as you mentioned it, and with the board's consideration, it probably would be useful to add a sentence in that second priority item, pointing out that many of the activities, many of the other priorities right now are limited by staffing issues and other things, and that doing something about this certainly has important implications for many of the other priorities. I think it would be useful to add that kind of a sentence in there. Let's do that. I do want to point out, certainly for agency members who are here, that as the priority says, we're not merely looking for expanded SILA arrangements, because I think we've heard repeatedly that at this point, expansion is tied to staffing, almost one-to-one. We're in some sense desperately looking to see whether anybody has any creative ideas that can get us any alternatives that might get us there. And I can't say there are any good things, although actually to one of the points Jen raised earlier, it turns out there has been some motion on the intermittent SILA concept that's potentially going to have some impact on how families might organize their own SILA arrangements. I think it's premature to have much discussion about that, but that's the kind of thing that might be interesting to the community. George, you have anything?
No, actually, a question. Could you explain that intermittent SILA?
I'm very willing to defer to Jen, since she put her hand up. I can explain it, but I can't do it justice.
Yeah, so intermittent SILA is under the broad SILA arrangement, and it is supporting people in their own homes or apartments. Traditionally, it has been at 15 hours a week. And so, as you can imagine, a lot of people are like, thank you very much, not enough. And so what they're working on right now is to actually have that be up to, have an actual range so that it can be up to 24-hour, because most people are in 24-hour group homes because it's either 24-hour or 15 hours. And so really trying to have it to genuinely be a range. And there were probably 9 different providers who said, there might even be 15 to 20% of people who are in SILAs that could go down to less services if there was truly a range. So right now it's pretty limited, but we're working on making it be more flexible. Yeah, working.
Right, but I think the point I'm making is if any you know, camel's nose under the tent move toward flexibility gives more options that potentially allow us to be more effective with limited funding. So, you know, these are important potentially. Other questions or discussion on the issues? Okay. So the one, not quite editorial, Lynn has some good notes on adding a sentence or two to that second priority to help show the interrelationships and how important the staffing aspects are. Given that change, since that's mostly editorial, I think we're going to maintain the motion as provided here, assuming there's no objections. I think we can probably go ahead and take a vote on the question. And since it's not directly a monetary one, we can actually vote on this vote. So those are we ready to vote? With that change, yes.
And to be clear, the change is going to reflect statement about improving reimbursement rates, compensation for staff.
Do you have anything well enough
supports for integration, inclusion, employment, kind of all sectors?
Lynn and I will work on specific. The sentence I have in mind is intended to point out that the purpose of the advocacy is that many of the other priorities are limited by staffing challenges, and that the appropriate state funding rates need to be put at a level that will impact those staffing challenges and allow us to pursue these other priorities. Is that enough? Okay, so if you can deputize Lynn and I to get that those thoughts in there. Okay. All right. Thank you. Sound like two, that's all. So those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have our priorities for the next round. Now, our next item, Dr. Milton, just to make sure that I'm not messing anything up, is our 3-year plan and somewhat longer term objectives. And these are on pages 69 through 76 in your packets. And again, I'd like to have a motion to approve that, and then we can have some discussion.
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion on the 3-year plan and goals as presented in the back of your packet at this point? And by the way, I do want to thank Lynn and the rest of the staff for working to try and make sure these are pretty consistent with the other priorities that we've set up and trying to make sure that we're sort of on a path that makes sense over the next few years.
Wanted to reference goal 9. It looks like that's the only addition in italics, or did I miss something else? And I appreciate the effort to kind of broaden the scope and define that a little more, that this, you know, along with the reimbursement rates, the staff compensation is a huge thing.
Okay, hearing no other discussion, we'll call the question. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, motion carries. Any board announcements or other news?
I would just like to thank the Developmental Disabilities Board for your patience this evening with the Mental Health Board.
I have to admit, I knew that we'd be reasonably quick, so I wasn't too nervous, but I appreciate that. All right, hearing nothing else, and a lot of people are looking at me anxiously, I'd like to accept a motion to adjourn. Second, those in favor are welcome to depart. Yeah.